This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Senator-elect Tom Tillis is headed to Washington this week for Senate orientation. His departure from the State House opens up the Speaker's seat, and many representatives are scrambling to fill it. Meanwhile, Democrats reflect on their losses and look at the state party leadership possibilities. The party's own executive committee meets tomorrow, and Asheville's Patsy Kiever has already announced that she will run for the chair of the state party. And Governor Pat McCrory sued his own party this week. He charged the Republican-led General Assembly with overstepping its authority in creating commissions. Joining me to talk about this and much, much more, political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Frank.
Let's talk about start talking about this lawsuit. Pat McCrory sues his own party over executive authority, I guess. Tell us more.
Well, you'd think it's a surprise because McCrory and the Republican legislature has gotten along so well this year. I mean, it's really just kind of interesting to watch Republicans battle like this because they're having a good year otherwise. But this is really less about ideology and more about separation of powers. The governor says that the legislature has no right to create all these commissions and appoint members to them. He said it encroaches on the executive branch. And the two former governors, Jim Hunt and Jim Martin, back him up on that, saying that this is the legislature doesn't have this right.
One of those a Republican, the other a Democrat. So at least on the executive side, bipartisan support for the governor in his suit. You jokingly said they got along. You certainly did not get along very closely with the Senate in much of their negotiations this year. But, you know, so what's this over? This is over coal ash commissions in particular in the aftermath of the Duke Energy coal ash spill, right?
That's true. I mean, there are other commissions that the legislature has set up, but the legislature's argument says if McCrory was really against this from the beginning, then why didn't he veto it? He basically sat on it. It was basically he let it go into law without his approval, but he could have vetoed it. But again, the thought of McCrory and coal ash in the same sentence is not what the governor wants, obviously with a re-election coming up in 2016. And of course, he'll say it's really more about the executive's power versus the legislative power. But anytime you mention coal ash, you know that McCrory kind of winces when he hears about that.
Politically, though, this is very interesting because should the governor win, you talked about his re-election chances. Of course, the governor has to run statewide. We just had a statewide race for Senate. It was very close. Tom Tillis won. But you can see that things are running closely. And so in a statewide election, it's going to be a competitive race between Pat McCrory and whoever the Democrats put up, meaning a Democrat could win, and yet it's less likely that they would take control of either the House or the Senate, given the fact that the redistricting has made so many districts so strong in favor of Republicans. So if he wins, what's interesting about this is that that Republicans could have the chance to create commissions for a Democratic governor, should he lose in 2016, and he would pave the way for that not to happen if he wins.
You know, that's absolutely right, and that's what's, you know, remarkable. I mean, however this is decided, this is less about McCrory and more about the governor versus the legislature. And again, if it's McCrory who wins in 2016, or Rory Cooper, or any Democrat who runs, I mean, obviously this will change the dynamic of it. But again, you know, there's one thing about separation of powers, which is a legitimate argument, and governors and legislatures have been battling about that, you know, from the beginning of time. But again, as I said before, whenever you see the words coal ash, you say, Pat McCrory says, this is not what I want to be dealing with. Mm-hmm. And the legislature feels the same way. Even the Republicans say, look, if, you know, I mean, this is not something we want to take. We don't want to battle with the governor, especially as we approach 2016. There must be another way to deal with this. But I think the governor seems pretty adamant about it.
How we know that these disputes have flared up at the national level over executive control and executive and legislative authority. What about at the state level? How common is this?
Well, I would think it's not that common, except in the last couple of years. Actually, in the last year and a half, there's been two instances where not so much when the governor sues the legislature, but the legislature was suing the governors over separation of powers. And again, in the two instances in Pennsylvania and Illinois, in Pennsylvania, it's a Republican legislature who sued the Republican governor, Tom Corbett. Matter of fact, the suit was on Election Day this year, last week, saying that he intruded on legislative authority because he vetoed part of the money that goes to the legislature. And so the legislature sued Governor Corbett on, again, separation of powers. Last year, the Illinois legislature, which is entirely Democratic, sued the Democratic governor, Pat Quinn, who lost his election last week, and also about the governor vetoed a pay raise, and the legislature said that he had no right. No, I'm sorry, he vetoed their pay because they refused to act on some other things that was going on before the legislature, and the legislative leader said that the governor had no right to do that, again, citing separation of powers. But interesting, all three states we're talking about, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Illinois, all three states, the legislatures and the governors were on the same side in the party, and yet the lawsuits went on anyway.
Well, and as you say, there is a legitimate constitutional question at stake here. Obviously, it never looks good for a party to be fighting among itself, party members to be fighting among themselves. But politically, is there anything for the governor to gain, as I say, politically in his reelection campaign by taking on this suit and perhaps winning?
You know, I mean, my gut tells me no. I mean, I don't know if it'll be an issue in 2016, but the thought of Republicans squabbling in advance of what could be a very, very close governor's race is not what the party wants to go into. Just, I mean, we could talk about the headlines being that Kay Hagan loses and it was a great year for the Republicans, but I mean, if you look at the legislature, not much happened. There were minimum changes in the state legislature, one House seat change party in the U.S. Congress, and of course the Senate seat. And so, I mean, as much as you keep thinking that, well, you know, Romney won in 2012 and Tillis won in 2014, this leaning Republican, well, it's really not much is happening. And McCrory knows he's going to have a tough fight in 2016. The last thing he wants to do is just to alienate Republicans, whose help he's going to need if he's going to win a second term.
So the Republicans have a leadership issue they're facing now. Tom Tillis goes to the Senate. That means the House needs a speaker.
Don't you think he's getting out just in time?
He's got 6 years now to kind of look back and say, right, just got out of that mess. Somebody is going to jump into the hot seat. Talk about that in the fight over who fills Tom Tillis's vacancy as House Speaker.
Well, you know something, I mean, I know there are several candidates. First of all, there's a lot of candidates who are looking at it. There's not going to be an election until later this month. I think it's November 22nd, which actually that's next week already, next Saturday. But again, you know, all these Republicans who want it, I mean, look, I'd rather be in the majority than the minority, and of course the Democrats have their own problems, but there are a lot of speaker hopefuls running in that election, and again, you know, I mean, ultimately the party will probably unite behind whoever it is, but it's a very powerful position. I mean, I think we heard Phil Berger and Tom Tillis' name mentioned as much as we heard McCrory all year long. So unlike other states where the governor overwhelms the powers of the legislature, the North Carolina legislature is pretty powerful, and these are obviously important positions to be filled.
Talking to political junkie Ken Rudin today on the State of Things. Well, the Democratic leadership, now there's a job maybe nobody wants to run the Democratic Party. I don't know after this election, but we know that Patsy Keever from Asheville says she does want the job. There's somebody in that job already heading the state Democratic Party. Tell us about the latest developments there.
Well, as you say, you know, Keever announced that she is running. She's a former state legislator from Asheville. She's run for Congress several times. Didn't get past, as she won the primary, but not won in the general election, of course. And look, the Democratic Party, both parties know that North Carolina is pivotal for 2016, not only in the presidential race. I mean, it went Republican in 2004, Democratic in 2008, and Republican in 2012, obviously a swing state, but also the governor's race is up. And so you need a united party. And there's a feeling among many Democrats, or some Democrats, but that Randy Voller is not the right person to be leading the party. He's had questions about paying back taxes. He fired the executive director that got a lot of Democrats angry. And, and Voller hasn't announced whether he's going to run again. Again, who knows what he's going to do, although he has talked about the future as if he's going to be part of that future. But just as the Republicans have, whatever mess that the Republicans may find themselves in, the Democrats even more so, if there's going to be a personal and contested and an ugly challenge for the state chairmanship, especially if Voller doesn't step down. So, I mean, the Democrats maybe perhaps once this battle for chair is over, the party wounds will heal. but certainly you want it to heal sooner than later, given the crucial elections coming up in 2016.
Right. Well, what's the job they have in front of them? However you want to spin the election, you can call it a close race. But the fact is that Democratic participation, black vote, was not up much over 2010. There was so much at stake. Voter turnout was vital. It didn't go up much. What do the Democrats have to do? Or is it over for them?
Oh, God, no. I mean, not too long ago, we were talking about after 2008, we were talking about how, or even 2012, how the Republicans would never come back, that they had problems with Latinos and women and African Americans, and the Republican Party will never, you know, come back the vitality that it had earlier. So things are very cyclical. They could change on a dime, and they have changed on a dime, but Democrats do have a problem. They face tremendous deficits in both houses of the General Assembly. They know that they have to win the state, and again, I don't think. I mean, look, I could be talking out of the, look. The point is that all the people who stayed home in 2014 are not necessarily the kind of same people who will stay home in 2016. A lot depends on Obama's numbers in 2016. What kind of Republican comes up for presidency? So. Again, you know, we could talk about what a disaster 2014 was nationwide, not only North Carolina, but nationwide for the Democrats. But 2016 is a completely different electorate, a completely different landscape.
Ken, happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I love turning 21 for the fifth time.
You don't look a day older than you did yesterday, I'll tell you the truth.
Especially on the radio.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. More on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, behind the scenes of the North Carolina Comic-Con, a convention celebrating superheroes and villains alike. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.